We're doing Shoftim, and we had discussed that the Jews had not lived up to their responsibilities. They had not conquered all the nations, and within each tribe you had foreign nations living in the land, and they proved to be difficulties for us. They proved to lead us astray and taught us how to serve idols. And then the Navi, so to speak, gives us an overview that the Jews are going to sin, follow the nations, God is going to give them in the hands of the nations, and then the Jews wail to Hashem. Hashem sends a Shofet, a judge, who leads them to do tshuva. And we'll begin with the story of the king of Aram Naharaim, the Armenian king from where Avram Avinu came, Aram Naharaim. The king's name is Kushan Rishathaim, and he takes over the Jewish people for 8 years. They call out to Hashem, and Hashem sends us our first Shofet, Otniel ben Kenaz. You remember him. He's the one who returned the 3,000 halachos that we forgot. Otniel ben Kenaz married who? Who remembers her name? Kalev's daughter named Achsa. And he leads the Jewish people. He judges them. He tells them you have to stop serving idols. He helps everyone do tshuva. He leads us to war. We conquer the king of Aram. And for 40 years there's peace as the Jews have done tshuva under Otniel ben Kenaz. He passes away. The Jews go back sinning. And Eglon, the Moabite king, overtakes us. Eglon gathers with him the Ammonites and Amalek. They all come in cahoots. We had them last week's parsha. And they overtake Jericho. They overtake Jericho. And now, the Navi describes it that the Jewish people were subservient to Moab for 18 years. The question is, it says he conquered one city. Did he conquer one city, or did he conquer all of Israel? The simple reading is, he conquered one city, and all of the Jews were subservient to him. It is difficult to understand how everyone became subservient if he only conquered one city. So there's what to discuss. We'll leave it as a question. Did he conquer everyone? Did he conquer one city? The Jews, davened to Hashem. Hashem sends them the Shofet Ehud ben Gera, who has a crippled right hand. And Ehud ben Gera is from the tribe of Binyamin. We will see that almost every tribe has a leader, a Shofet. And the Jewish people send the gift to Eglon in the hands of Ehud. Ehud makes himself a sword that's sharp on both sides. You know, when you have a butter knife, one side's sharp, the other side's flat. This sword is sharp on both sides, and he wears it on his right thigh. Now, in those times, you used to wear a sword on your left side because you reached across with your right hand. His right hand didn't work well, so he wears it on his right thigh so he could reach it with his left hand. And he manages to sneak it into the king, and they bring the gift to Eglon, the Moabite king. And Eglon was tremendously obese, and after he brings the gift, he sends everyone back. He's going to try and assassinate Eglon, and he wants the people to think that it was a one-man job. This way, in case he gets caught, he's not endangering all of the Jewish people. So he comes back with the Jews. After they've brought the gift, they travel back to the land of Israel. And then he comes back alone, and he says, I have a secret word for you, my king. And the king says, quiet everyone, everyone leave. And that's a big error. All his guards, everyone's left the room, and Ehud is alone with Eglon in his room. Ehud comes up, and Eglon's a very obese person, so he has this, he's sitting on his throne, which is high up, where he has a nice breeze, and Ehud comes up to him, and he says, I have a word from the prophet for you. And Eglon, it's not easy for him to get up. He takes all his weight, and he stands up in honor of the prophecy that he's about to hear. And Ehud swiftly takes out the sword, and throws it into Eglon's stomach, and the sword goes in, and the handle goes in, and it goes in so deep that it's all covered up with his blubber, with his fat, and Eglon sits down and dies. And as is usually the case when a person passes away, all their feces come out. So Eglon makes in his pants as he dies, and Ehud walks out and locks the door behind him. The servants come, they want to go into their master, and the door is locked. So they figure, oh, must be he's going to the bathroom. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And while they're waiting, Ehud runs back. He blows the trumpets, and the Jews have been prepared, waiting to join him. And he leads them to war, and they attack the Moabites. And they not only attack them, but they capture the Jordan. The Moabites came from the eastern side of the Jordan, and they captured the crossings to the Jordan so that all the soldiers that were in Israeli territory couldn't cross back and couldn't get more assistance. And then they wiped out 10,000 men, the Moabite army that was in Israel, and they couldn't get reinforcements, and they didn't have their leader. And now Moab is subservient to the Jews, and there's peace for 80 years after what Ehud did. Now Eglon had a daughter, and this daughter married a Jewish guy. This daughter's name is Rus, and she marries Mahlon, the son of Elimelech, who we will encounter later on. And her husband dies, and this girl, Rus, tells her mother-in-law, I'll support you. And she buys everything that's necessary to bury her husband. And then she tells her mother-in-law, I want to convert, I'm becoming Jewish with you. And her mother-in-law says, I'm going back to the land of Israel. And Rus says, well, I'll come with you. And she says, well, you know, there are laws. Yeah, on Shabbos, you can't go distance. And Rus says, wherever you go, I'll go. And she says, you know, there are laws. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to light a fire. And our courts can execute a person. She says, where you die, I die. She says, you know, you're not allowed to be alone with a man. A Jewish woman is prohibited from yichud. She says, I'll be wherever you go. I won't be alone with a man. So she says, fine, you want to come with me? Come with me. And they come back to Israeli territory. And Rus, who was the princess, she was the daughter of Eglon, the Moabite king. Now she comes back and lives as a pauper. She has to collect charity in Israel. Ultimately, she marries the Shofet, Ivtzan, Boaz. She marries him, and from her comes King David. David HaMelech emanates from Rus, the daughter of this king, Eglon. Yeah?
We all like assume that she converted, but actually the scripture never anywhere says that she actually did.
We'll discuss that Shavuos time. If you listen to our Shavuos classes, you'll see where it says she did. It does say. ותעזבי אביך ואימך וארץ מולדתך ותלכי אל העם אשר לא ידעתם מול שלשום. It says it. Pasuk Boaz tells, you left your mother and your father and you went to a nation that you didn't know in the past. What does it mean you went to a nation? You went there just to live there. And if you look at the Targum, you'll see more. And if you listen to our classes, you'll see even more. Kini Chamtani. Look at the Pasuk after that, where Rus tells him, Kini Chamtani, you'll see what it says. And anyways, you see from the continuation of the verses. Yeah.
Sorry, Rabbi, I just wanted to ask, what is a pasha when this haftarah is read? Because they often, you know, there's...
This isn't read in haftarah.
Oh, okay. Because the chumash are often like...
Not this, no. The next shofet is Shamgar ben Anat. He was a very powerful warrior. Shamgar ben Anat took a stick that they used to guide the cattle. They used to have this long stick that had a spoke in the front. And the cattle would go off course, they'd bump it and it would go on course, and that was called Malmada Bakar. Right. So you're talking about a long stick that has a nail coming out of it. He took that stick and killed 600 Philistines. So he was some warrior. And he led the Jewish people. The Ehud passes away, the Jewish people sin, and God gives us into the hands of Yavin, the Canaanite king, and his chief general is Sisera. Now Sisera was one of the most marvelous generals in world history. He was a person that single-handedly could have caused the defeat of the Jewish people. Not only did he have a powerful army, and not only was his army with better weapons than the Jewish people, but he alone was such a powerful general that Chazal tell us that after we had defeated his whole army, as we will see later on in the story, there was a tremendous danger to the Jewish people just because Sisera was still alive. And we'll discuss that as we go on, we have a few more minutes. They have 900 metal chariots, and they're oppressing the Jewish people for 20 years. And we have to get a picture of this. You're talking about millions of people being oppressed for 20 years, not a day, not a month. I mean, you're talking about 20 years. In today's time, you know, we're used to things happening like that. Think of 20 years under the oppression of foreign rulership. That's why, you know, we have to learn from Shoftim to have perspective on history. Sometimes God punished the Jewish people for 20 years. They're being oppressed by this foreign nation. And our leader is this prophetess, Devorah. And her husband used to make the wicks for the temple. Her husband was Lapidot. And she judged the Jewish people. So she learned Torah, and she mastered Torah, and she became a prophet. And when people would come to her to be judged, so she didn't want room for anyone to say there was any hanky-panky, so she'd sit under a palm tree. You guys know what tall palm trees look like. There's no place to hide under the branches. They give a minuscule amount of shade, which is usually not under the tree. But that's where she was. She had this palm tree where everyone knew they could come to her for judgment. And this teaches us a concept that we have to not only distance ourselves from sin, but we have to distance ourselves from allowing people to talk badly about us. The pasuk says, "Umtzachin v'sechel tov v'inei Elohim v'adam." One has to find favor and wisdom in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. Chazal said, "Hitrachek min hachiyur u'min adomelo." Distance yourself from that which is disgusting, and distance yourself from things that are similar to things that are disgusting. Stay away from things that people could speak badly about you. Harchek mimecha ikeshut pe ulezut svatayim harchek mimecha. Distance yourself from bad speech. Don't let people speak badly about you, Shlomo said. So, Devorah, when she's judging the Jewish people, she doesn't want anyone to talk. So she's sitting under a palm tree. Everyone could see what's going on. Not even inside a hut, not inside a tent, not inside a building. No, outside. Everyone could see what's going on. And she is told by God that Barak ben Avinoam from the tribe of Naphtali, that's up in the north, he should lead us to war. So she tells him, you go take 10,000 people from your tribe, from Naphtali and from Zvulun, which are your neighbors, and I will cause Sisera to come attack you when Sisera hears that the Jews have amassed an army. And then God is going to give them in your hands and you will conquer them. And Barak tells her, if you go with me, I'll go. I'm not going alone. If I go alone, no one's going to listen to me. I'm not going alone. And she tells him, fine, I'll go with you, but you, as a man, should have led the Jews to war. And you're not. You're telling me to come with you. Well, if I'm coming with you, you should know God is going to give this war in the hands of a woman. You're not going to have the pride that people will say, Barak won the war on behalf of the Jews. So Barak gathers the Jewish people, 10,000 men, and Dvorah is with him. And Sisera hears that the Jews have amassed an army. And Sisera takes his 900 metal chariots, and he comes to the river of Kishon, the Kishon Valley. And Dvorah tells Barak, attack, you're going to win, God is going to make you successful. And ordinarily they shouldn't have won. Sisera had a more powerful army, he was a brilliant general, he had weapons that they didn't have. And God caused Sisera's armies to fall. Sisera had hired mercenaries, and they said, we'll fight with no pay. So God caused the Kishon Valley to be flooded, and God sent waters that flooded all of Sisera's army. Barak didn't have that much work to do. And the pasuk doesn't tell us. Later on, we'll see in Dvorah's prophecy, she recounts how the river of Kishon came, the valley got flooded, and God flooded his soldiers. The river did a lot of the work for him. And Sisera sees he's losing the war. He gets off his chariot and he runs. And Barak's chasing, and Sisera's on the run. And he comes to the tent of Yael, who was the wife of Chever from the Cani tribe. These were people who came from Yisro, from Jethro, and they were living near us. They were living in that territory of Ir Atmarim in Jericho. And there was good relationship between the king, this Canaanite king, and the house of Chever, this man of Jethro's descendants. And Yael comes out towards him and she says, come, my master, come, don't worry. And he comes to her tent. And now she's going to seduce him and execute him, which we'll discuss with Zachem next week.